chapter 10. This is going to be an abbreviated message, so if you're watching your clock, don't despair yet. And I'm halfway through and you're like, man, he's not done yet, then you can despair. But right now, go in with a bit of optimism. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to read for us verses 19 through 25. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Lord, would you add your blessing to the reading of your word? And I pray that your spirit would be speaking to us as we dig deeper into what you have to say to us this morning as a church, as First Christian Church in the year of 2022. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what does it really mean to be part of the church? As we gather for homecoming this year, it's a lot about what it means that we are a church. And there are some people who are an active part of this church, even though their name is not actually on a membership list anywhere. And we're working on them. We're going to try to continue to get them included officially on the membership list as people who are committed to this church and to one another. On the other hand, there are people on the membership list that we hardly see anymore. So what does it really mean to be a part of the church? We're taking a break from 1 Timothy to focus on a passage that tells us better than most what it really means to be a part of the church. Our purpose statement as a church says the purpose of First Christian Church shall be to exalt God in Christian fellowship. And it talks about that in three different ways: public worship and spiritual instruction, caring for the physical and spiritual needs of its members in the community, and seeking to bring others to saving faith in Jesus according to the Word of God. But those three means are just supporting ways of that central purpose to exalt God in Christian fellowship. And just like this passage shows us, you might say there's kind of a God dimension and a human dimension to being a church. There's a heavenly dimension and an earthly dimension, vertical and horizontal, worship and fellowship. And you can't really divide it up like that, because you cannot separate God from the fellowship that we have with one another. And neither can you take other Christians out of our worship to God. They're inextricably intertwined. But it's helpful to notice both the spiritual, both the God dimension, and also the human dimension. But most importantly, we need to recognize that Jesus, our priest and sacrifice, is the foundation for both our fellowship with God and our fellowship with one another. He is the source of our confidence. So to be the church, in order to be a church, we need Christ as our confidence, we need to draw near to God, and we need to spur one another on. We need Christ as our confidence, we need to draw near to God, and we need to spur one another on. So first of all, Christ is our confidence. We're Christians not only in the sense that Christ is a good example for us to follow, which he certainly is, but because he's the foundation of everything that we do. He is our hope for this life and eternal life. So when verse 22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, before we can draw near to God, where do we get that full assurance of faith? And there are some places people look for a false assurance of faith. Some people put their faith in themselves. And this is kind of the Disney message, right? Believe in yourself. Follow your heart. You know, believe that you're a good person and that will pull you through. People that believe this are confident that they're going to go to heaven because they believe in their own goodness. That's a false assurance. Another mistake that's closer to the truth is just assuming that God is so loving he wouldn't send anybody to hell. He's not going to condemn anybody. And so, yeah, obviously anybody can approach God anytime they want. confidence comes from Christ. So where does our confidence come from? From Christ. We hear this over and over in verses 19 through 21. Before we ever get to verse 22, let us draw near to God. It starts with verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Three times, it talks about the blood of Jesus as the way that opens the way to God for us. His body is the new and living way. He is our great priest. So I read a website of a former Catholic priest recently named Richard Rohr. He's offended. This is a former Catholic priest. He's offended at the idea that we need the blood of Jesus to save us from God's punishment. And so what he says is that the cross is just a demonstration of love. It doesn't change anything. This is literally what he says, word for word. Nothing changed on Calvary. I can't think of a more fundamental lie that could destroy the gospel. Everything changed on Calvary. Calvary is the hill, the Mount Golgotha, where Jesus died on the cross, and everything changed when Jesus died. The song says, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Everything changed when Jesus died for us on Calvary. We don't just need a new perspective. We don't just need a different attitude. We don't just need to have this epiphany. It's like, oh, now I see. We need to have our sins taken away by somebody who would bear the punishment for our sins in our place. We were sinners, barred from heaven and barred from the presence of God by our sins. So I was in Washington, D.C. this week on a field trip with my kids, and we got a picture taken with the president. You want to see? The president's in the back. Maybe somewhere inside that big white building. You say, that's not a picture with the president. True. You're quite right about that. It's not even really a picture in front of the White House. It's a picture in front of a fence, across the road from a fence, in front of this big lawn with Secret Service guys with guns in front of the White House. Before Jesus, that's what it was like trying to approach God. In the Old Testament, over and over, we get this message. At Mount Sinai, God said, do not let the people come up the mountain or they will die. And the temple, even the priests could only go so far. Nobody but the priests could go into the temple because they'd been consecrated by the blood of a sacrifice. But even the priests could not go inside of the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, because it was separated from the rest of the temple by a curtain, except the high priest once a year when he was carrying the blood of the sacrifice. But when Jesus died on the cross, verse 20 says, he opened a new and living way through the curtain into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, so that where only the high priest could go once a year, now every single person that puts their faith in Jesus can enter with confidence into the most holy place, into God's presence. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is our only way to the Father. He's our hope and our confidence. So in verse 23, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Our hope comes from the one that made the promise, not from ourselves. Our confidence is not in us. If you want to know whether you're saved or not, don't look at yourself. Don't look at whether you are able to save yourself. Look at Jesus, who alone is able to save you. We come to Jesus unclean in our sin, but he sprinkles us to cleanse us from our guilt. Let us draw near in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. We experience the cleansing of the blood of Jesus through the symbol of baptism when our bodies are immersed in water. This is the gospel. This is where our confidence comes from. And as a result, Jesus draws us near in two ways. First, he draws us near to God, and secondly, he draws us near to other people who have been drawn near to God. So first of all, draw near to God. As a church, this is what we do. First and foremost, this is who we are as a church. Our social relationships with other people in the church come about as a result of all being adopted into the same family with God as our Father. We're the household of God. So before we can even talk about our human relationships as a church, we need to remember that God is the one who's adopted us. And this is the main reason that Jesus died on the cross, to open up a way into the presence of God, into the most holy place. We're going to take communion in just a few minutes. And we can't do that. We cannot enter the presence of God without the blood and the body that was broken and poured out so that we could come into God's presence. And so the most obvious and important thing for us to do is to draw near to God. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. What does that mean? For one, we draw near to God to listen. We know he's got the truth. We don't. We don't just think to ourselves, oh, I know what the truth is. I know what right and wrong is. I know what God is like. We don't until God tells us what it is. We come near to hear what he has to say to us. And you can do that. Yes, you can do it through creation by looking at what God has created. You can do that by listening to the Holy Spirit in specific situations. But most of all, you can't understand those two things unless you're willing to open up his word and hear what God has spoken clearly to us, to make clear what he's revealed to us, both through his creation and through his spirit. This is the word. When you open up your Bible, don't just do it to check a chore off the day. Draw near to listen. When you come to church on Sundays, draw near to listen to God. Second, we draw near to ask. Bring your concerns to him. So Philippians 4:6, you guys probably remember this one, you've heard it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God is honored when we bring our needs to him, because it shows that we know he's strong and that he cares about us. So draw near to ask. But most of all, we draw near to worship. And if we don't worship God, we don't really understand who he is. That God is great and greatly to be praised. 1 Peter 2 says this is our purpose that we were made for, to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Being the people of God means that we draw near to declare the praises of him who saved us, who brought us into his presence by the blood of Jesus. The greatest joy that you will ever experience as a human being, whether in this life or in eternity, and it'll be our constant enjoyment for eternity, is to experience God's glory firsthand and reflect that back in our praises and our worship. So as a church, our first calling is to draw near to God through the new and living way opened for us by the blood of Jesus. When you come to church, do you come to draw near to God? Are you expecting to meet with God? And you say, well, I don't need the church to draw near to God. I can do that just as well in the woods at home. I disagree. You might feel emotionally more connected to God in those moments. But is your heart surrendered to him? Are you being made in his likeness? We weren't just saved as individuals. We were saved together as a family, as a body. Ephesians 2 says we're being joined together to become a holy temple in which God lives by his Spirit. Not just me, but we together, being built together. When we worship God together, when we glorify him as a people who have been redeemed, we honor and reflect him in a way that's deeper than just me by myself praising him. You are a Christian only in the fully biblical sense when you're joined together with others to be a temple for the worship of God. That's what Scripture tells us. So the other role of being the church then is to spur one another on. So this is kind of the second half of the passage, verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So last week we sang this song that we are God's people. It says, we die alone, for on its own each ember loses fire. Yet joined in one, the flame burns on to give warmth and light and to inspire. You take a coal out of the fire, it dies, while the rest of the coals that are in the fire continue burning. we gather together as a church to help each other keep burning. And that takes deliberate effort. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. Let's think about it. Let's consider it. Let's be intentional about that effort. What can you do as a Christian to spur on other Christians in their faith, to help them grow and persevere in their faith? Well, for one thing, you can come and worship next to them, because when you worship, that inspires my worship. Your love for God feeds my love for God. You can go to Sunday school prepared to discuss and to contribute. Because as we know, sharing our faith with one another is one of the most important ways that we can grow in our love for God. You can serve in the service, in the worship service, or the other things that the church does. But what you can't do is give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, because your faith will grow cold. You see God's word telling us this. Don't argue with God upon this point. God designed us to need each other, and we honor him more together as people who love one another in his name. So if you're just coming to church to see, you know, how's this going to benefit me? You know, is it worth my time? You're missing at least half the point. Think about how you can encourage others who follow Christ to grow in love and good deeds. How can you spur one another on? Let's work together. Let's encourage one another to serve our community, to serve each other in the name of Christ. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Say, well, that's kind of a throwaway phrase, as you see the day approaching. What even is the day? This is important, because Christianity is not just a bunch of generic principles for living. It's more than anything a story, and it tells us how to live within that story. That we live in a world that God created good, but it's fallen because of sin. But God has set a day when he is going to restore all things by sending his son Jesus again to reign as king and to restore what is broken. So the question is, how are we living in light of that day? Are we living in anticipation of that time when Jesus is coming again? We're part of that story. And what we do right now depends on whether we understand our role in that. This homecoming Sunday, it's nice to look back. It's nice to remember the things that we've celebrated together. But it's not just a time to look back. Neither is it a time just to go through the motions of another year. But it's a time to remember what it means to be the church. And to consider how to be that church in Moreland today and in Henry County broadly. We come with confidence in Christ our priest, Christ our sacrifice, who opens up the new and living way for us to draw near to God together as a family. And we come to prepare each other to go out again in service to him in the community, in love, in the name of Jesus. Let's do that together. We're about to move into a time of communion, and as we do, we're going to set our hearts on the cross, on what Jesus did, so that we could enter into the presence of God. So prepare your heart, search your heart. If there's any sin that you need to surrender, if there's this attitude of rebellion, this resistance to God that you need to let go, this is your time to surrender that to him and celebrate that Jesus created the way for you to enter his presence.